Hey guys, this is Joy.
This is Claire. Good morning. Hello.
Starting out on a real slow note, I was like, I'm so tired. And Claire's just like, I'm so sorry to hear that.
I'm so sorry.
But you know, like those mornings where you wake up and you're like, oh, I think I slept pretty well. But then you just, I don't know. I think I had a really busy week with some family in town. And also we got rid of our sleep number bed. So I really rely on the sleep number to tell me if I got good sleep, which is a horrible, it's kind of like I realized how reliant I was on that number to be like, did I sleep well? And so now I don't know.
That's so funny. Mm-hmm. Why did you get rid of it?
It was just old.
Oh, did you get a new one?
We didn't get a new, so we got a mattress. I can't remember the name of it. It's one of the roll-up ones that you can get at Costco.
Oh,
because we got them for our guest rooms and they're really, really comfortable. And so Scott's like, look, the sleep number beds are really expensive. The way that... This is an insight into our life. Scott is constantly thinking that the bed is sinking. Like, he's like, my side is sinking, I swear. Even after like a year or two, he's like, we need a new mattress. So after we got the sleep number bed, I'm like, we spent so much money on this mattress. Like, you need to kind of like wait it out. And I think it's all in his head. He's like, no, I swear, my side is sinking. And he'll like sit there and show me. So finally, 9 years later, this thing has lasted us forever. He's like, I'm going to get a new mattress. I'm like, okay, fine. That's totally fine. So he's like, I'm not going to get a new sleep number. We're just going to get the Costco ones because we can replace it like every 3 to 5 years. And it's way cheaper than just buying one that lasts for 10 years. That's really expensive. And it's just as comfortable. It's a really comfortable mattress. And so we switched that out. He's happy. I'm happy. I'm not super picky about mattresses. Like, I don't lay there and get like all, I don't know. I don't have a very, unless it's like too soft. I can't do like really, really soft beds because I just, yeah. So, but to make up for the sleep number loss, I'm going to get an Oura ring. This is my test ring that I have. I'm wearing a test ring right now because they want you to like test the size. They send you this like little sizing kit so you can test all the sizes. But I'm like, okay, my company gets a discount on Oura rings because they have like a partnership with them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you can use Headspace with the Oura ring and do all this meditation stuff. So I was like, okay, fine. I've been considering an Oura ring. This is not sponsored. For a long time, but I was like, oh, it's kind of like the Whoop bands. Like, do you really need it if you have an Apple Watch? But the one thing I really do like to track is my sleep. I really do.
I've also heard good things about the Oura rings because as opposed to like a Fitbit or an Apple Watch, you can't see the things in real time. So it becomes less of like a fixation.
Right.
And
yes.
You can like track the app or whatever, but you're not like looking down at your watch constantly to see what your stats are.
Yeah.
I've heard that as a pro.
Yeah, that's a couple people, because I talked to a couple people at work, because I was like, what do you like about it? And just like really wanting to do my due diligence before I buy something that I'm like not going to use. And they said the same thing, that they don't feel like the stats are like in their face, that they're getting all hung up on that. So I'm excited to try it. I think it'll be good data. And I'm also very interested the ongoing struggle with perimenopause symptoms, or probably perimenopause symptoms. I think that this data will also help me track like temperature and sleep patterns and, you know, whatever, because I've also started to get flutters in my chest, which apparently is a perimenopause symptom, which is so annoying. So these are the things that we're
like
trying.
Very distracting. I get that a lot throughout. Like it's an easy stress symptom for me to have. I've always had irregular heartbeats and I've had like really high resting heart rates for periods of my life. I've had like several full cardiac workups done where you have like, you do the stress test and the treadmill and you get a heart ultrasound, like all these things. And they're kind of like, no, I guess this is just what your heart does. I'm like, okay. But even it feels like your heart is like sneezing and you're like, what was that? I hate it.
Yeah. And I have the heart rate on my Apple Watch. So I tracked that when I had Graves all the time, because it was like, it was such a good piece of data for me to mentally calm down whenever I was worried about, oh my gosh, is my Graves getting better or worse or whatever? Because heart rate was a really big piece of it. And so I'll track that on occasion whenever my heart flutters like that. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if it's a heart rate thing. I'm going to see my doctor in a few weeks, so we'll figure that out. But or like my oxygen, you can kind of test your oxygen. I don't know how accurate it is on the Apple Watch, but it's more of like a mind screw of like what's happening, or is it an anxiety thing? I talked to my ER doctor friend and she was like, here, She's so funny. I love her. We should have her on sometime. She has the best stories, like ER stories. She's just like a really interesting human. Anyway, I called her when this started happening because I was like, this is kind of freaking me out. Should I be worried? She's like, well, just go to your doctor. They'll probably give you an EKG or like you can. She's like, you can buy some of these things on Amazon. There's a name for one, but she was like, you can buy it and test it at home.
Like a pulse ox?
Yeah. And she,
the little thing you put on your finger.
No, I can't remember the name of it. And so she's like, honestly, just have your doctor do like an EKG and they can kind of like test to see if there's anything super irregular. But she explained in very medical terms, which I don't even remember, of like what's happening to your heart when this happens. And she's like, and it can be hormone related, but she said something like, if it's stress related, you have to do some things to kind of like really reset your nervous system. And she goes, she's like, what we do in the ER is I'll push on their stomach really hard and I'll say, try to push my hands off your stomach. Like basically telling them to take a really intense breath out, like push out and like push in. So like a really intense breathing. And she's like, and that kind of, what'd she say?
Yeah, it would like force like a nervous system.
Yes.
Yeah.
She goes, that bitch slaps it back to reset. And she goes, or you can push, you know, put your face in freezing cold water. So kind of like that same thing where you just
do a cold plunge.
Vagus nerve.
I have like a weird, I want to go back to mattresses for a second.
Yeah.
I also had like a weird mattress story this week randomly, but I wanted to bring this up because did you know that in Denver, there is a nonprofit called Spring Back Colorado Mattress Recycling, and they employ like people who have barriers to employment, mostly like ex people who were previously incarcerated. They will recycle your mattress and they like break it down into all the different parts and then recycle each part individually.
We definitely need that. Yeah. Thank you for that.
If you're going to be getting a new mattress every 3 years. And I was talking about this and I can't remember. I'm going to look it up. If it's like, I think it's, is it free to have it picked up? Or I don't know if you pay a little bit to have it picked up. Oh, yeah. It's like maybe up to $100 if you live in the mountains. It's like $60 to $100 just for the pickup. But then they will recycle the rest of it for free. So, and that's cheaper than what it would be to like take it to the dump. My mom's friend, this was such a random thing. We have some friends in town this weekend from Minnesota. They're the best. And this is like a grad school friend who I haven't seen in like 8 years. My mom's friend, who's one of those people who like my mom has been friends with since long before I was born. I have known her my whole life. You know, she's like just been around my whole life. My mom was over at the house. These are all these stories are going to come together. My mom was over at the house and she was like, hey, Shauna wants to try your mattress. And I was like, what? She said, yeah. She was talking about how she needed a new mattress. And I told her that you and Brandon really love your mattress. We have a Bear mattress, which we got. It's not sponsored, which we got probably like 3 or 4 years ago.
I feel like we have to say that because there's so many mattresses that sponsor podcasts.
Totally.
Like,
I wish Bear would sponsor us because I tell people about them. This is not sponsored, but I have a Bear mattress. It's like the pro something and I love it. And we actually got ours before. Bear right now has like 10 options. My mom was like, I told her about your mattress, but this woman is the type of person who like will send food back at a restaurant. She will return produce to the grocery store if it's like gone bad. Like she really does all of her due diligence. Like she is a researcher. She wants to know what she's getting. So my mom was like, she wants to come lay on your mattress before she orders one. And I was like, that's fine. Like it's a D2C company. You can't try it out in the store or whatever. She's like, okay, if you're okay with that, I'll let her know and I will let you know when she's going to come. So our friends are over. Yes. And this was a conversation we had. And I'm thinking like in a couple days or like next weekend, she'll stop by. So we're all outside with our friends from Minnesota. They have two kids. We're like riding bikes. Our neighbor who has a daughter the same age as Evie, like sees us outside. They're all out riding bikes. And my mom's friend just pulls up. Everyone kind of looks at me like, who is this person? And I then proceed to go inside with her and just like chat with her while she just lays on my mattress for like 20 minutes. It was so random.
Totally
normal. It was really sweet, but it was very random. And she like brought her own little sheet. And I was like, what? Shauna, I have known you since before I was born. Like, you can lay on my sheet. She was like, oh, you don't know where I've been. I was like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
It was just so funny. Anyway, she liked the mattress. It was just a real funny experience.
I looked it up. The EKG thing is called Cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. It's an at-home EKG. I did not buy that because I was like, I'm going to see my doctor in a few weeks. It's not like cheap. And I really try to avoid buying gadgets that I'm not going to really use forever. I don't know.
If we had this, Brandon would like put it on full every day. He loves putting leaves on people. And then when we were in Steamboat, we'll talk about this, but we went to Steamboat for spring break last week. My best friend, who I always talk about, who lives in Jackson and sometimes SLO, came with us, and her high school and college boyfriend lives in Steamboat, and he's a firefighter. And so he took us to the fire station. We got in the ambulance, like, to just kind of look around. Next thing I know, Brandon is literally putting a 6-lead on himself to, like, run an EKG and show the kids the little, like, doop. And I was like, Brandon, that's, like, medical equipment. Like, you can't just, like, take off. He's like, no, it's fine. I was like, you don't work here. Next thing I know, he's, like, got those little pads all over himself. And he's, like, pointing at his heart rate on the little monitor.
It is kind of fascinating. Yeah. It is fascinating. Oh, and then I know we're all over the place. We got the NovaForm mattress at Costco, if anybody cares. It's really great. It's really comfortable. You want to read Leah's comment? Yeah.
So Brandon just walked up behind me to hand me the coffee. Leah said, oh, that's what Brandon looks like. Random side story. One time I had surgery at a hospital up north, and my friend that was with me said that when I was coming out of anesthesia, I asked the male nurse, are you Brandon? That's amazing. I'm going to tell him that. He's going to love that. I actually have, because Brandon works at like the main orthopedic surgery center in Boulder. And so if you get like an ACL done in Boulder, or he used to, and he still works there now, like a couple days a month, but his main one, now he's over at the hospital or the surgery center attached to the hospital. But I definitely have known people who've had surgery and then after the fact were like, I think your husband was my nurse. But he also, like, when he's in with patients, he has a mask on. And, you know, he, like, if you don't know, if you've never met him, and it's one of those things where you're like, I don't know, like, I've seen pictures of you on Instagram, like, is that you? But you have, like, the surgical cap and the mask and, like, the scrubs. Kind of hard to tell. Anyway, great. Well, this was a real random start to the podcast, as always.
Jacqueline says, I once accused my surgical nurse of killing sea turtles for bringing me a drink with a straw when waking up from surgery.
Oh, no.
I would love, we've probably done this prompt before, but it never gets old when people are talking about like anesthesia stories coming out of anesthesia.
Waking up from surgery.
Great.
We were talking to Brandon about that a couple weeks ago. I was like, this is Brandon's like main job is like being around people. And he's not there when they wake up, but he is there right when they're about to go under. So like he's standing there with the anesthesiologist when they're giving them like the first batch of drugs, when you like get that wave and it just hits you. You're just like so drunk.
And you try so hard to like stay awake. Yeah. It's like everyone thinks they're
my favorite thing. Yeah, he was like, I love the people who try to fight it. And it's like, okay, well, the anesthesia has a 100% record of winning. So anesthesia wins every time. But feel free.
Whatever you need to do to kind of like mentally, you know what it is, I wonder, is people are so afraid of waking up during anesthesia. I wonder if they're like trying to test it, that they're like trying to fight it. I don't know.
People are just nervous, and you're like not your best self when you're nervous. And even if it's you're not necessarily not your best self, but like you're not your normal self when you're that nervous.
Of course. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, okay.
I'm going to talk about Steamboat for a sec.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Wait, Leah said I forced my friend to give me math problems because I wanted to win it coming out of anesthesia.
That's amazing. I could see you doing that.
You are so
like,
funny.
I am.
Well, because her job is math, so I could see her just being like, okay, keep me snappy here.
Keep it coming.
That's so funny. Okay. Talk about Steamboat. Yeah, we talk about Steamboat. Spring break.
Spring break, woo! Miles said spring break. We started off spring break last week on Thursday and Friday with two absolutely bogus snow days, which we've already addressed last week. Then we went to Steamboat. We got there on Saturday evening and were there until Wednesday evening. This is our third year in a row doing Steamboat for spring break. It's about a 3.5-hour drive from here. So it's definitely one of like the farther, it is probably the farthest ski resort in Colorado. But, you know, still very drivable, 3.5 hours. It was really fun. The conditions were like pretty bad. There was no new snow. We got a big snowstorm at the end of last week, and Steamboat got a little bit of snow, but then the whole rest of the weekend was super windy. So like any of the snow that they got kind of blew away. So the whole time we were there, it was real spring skiing conditions, which means that the top layer of snow like melts during the day and gets really slushy. And then at night it freezes. And so in the morning it's just concrete. So obviously those aren't the best. I don't know anybody who loves skiing on those conditions. But I mean, it can be kind of fun if you like to go fast, especially if they groom it and it has those like corduroy lines, like it's like, and you feel like you're skiing on like, you know, those rumble strips that keep you from drifting out of your lane. Feels like you're skiing on those. But with the kids, it was nice because it basically meant that there was really no motivation for us to get to the hill before like noon because we needed to wait for the snow to soften up, which was really nice because typically in skiing, it's just like a race to get out the door in the morning.
Right. Cause you get to, you get like the first run.
Right. You want to get the perfect conditions. Yeah. Exactly. Like the early are the better typically, but not the case when it's real spring skiing conditions. So it was nice because it was like more relaxing and my friend Steph was there who has a 4-month-old baby. And so we got to like spend a lot of time with the baby in the morning when babies are like, they're at their most agreeable. And we got a really cool Lego for Brandon's birthday. It was like one of those Lego icon sets that are like the fancy adult Legos. We got the tea house one.
Oh,
it's like cool. This really cool like Japanese tea house set, and it has like these trees with cherry blossoms, and you can take the roof off the tea house, and there's like a little tatami room in there with like a matcha set with a little whisk.
Oh my gosh, that's adorable.
I love
the little miniatures.
I love them. They're so funny. And I'm just like, somebody, I really hope that whoever is designing this is like getting as much joy out of it as I am, being like, oh my God, a little whisk.
Oh my gosh. When I was putting together the friend set.
Yeah.
This was like years ago. I think it was like 2020, 2021. We got the Friends coffee house and it was so cute. Every time I was putting, anytime you start putting things together and you're like, oh my gosh, it has a little cappuccino maker. Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. I just kept putting it together being like, this is so cute.
Totally. I love all those. I love like the little sets. Like our friends did one that's like an A-frame cabin and you open up the cabin and it's like, oh my gosh, there's like a little axe, like a little hatchet by the fireplace. And there's like a little coffee maker in the kitchen and all those little things are just the best. So that was our spring break trip. Kind of unremarkable. Otherwise, we went to the hot springs in town. They have like, there's strawberry hot springs, which is what people, if you've been to Steamboat, normally it's what people think about because it's like clothing optional after dark. That's not the one we went to. And it feels more, you're like in a lagoon. It feels like it's like rocks. You're in like the woods kind of. We didn't go to that one. We went to the one, the whole town is like on a, what is it called? Geothermal. Hogwarts Express? Oh no, that's something different. That's talking about Legos. It's like the whole town is like on a geothermal, is like geothermally active. And so they have a hot springs like rec center. And so you go and it's like a pool and they have water slides. And so we went there and then we went to the fire station, which was very fun. But yeah, when we do that, pretty much we're just like trying to ski. We also do night skiing, which Steamboat has. It's so fun.
Oh, night skiing is so fun.
And Evie wore her light up tutu.
Ugh.
And I just have never, like, it was the most quintessential Evie moment. Like, she's skiing, she's got her tutu, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, you're so cute. She's like, thank you. And she just, we all decided that everyone, and this is an announcement for everyone listening, our new vibe is Evie. Because when she gets a compliment, she just says, thank you. Or, I know.
It's so
like,
great.
Evie, you are so sweet. And she's like, I know. Or like, Evie, you look amazing. She's like, I know. Mm-hmm. So we are bringing Evie energy into this week.
Yeah,
I will challenge all of you when the next time you get a comment, just be like, I know.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. If I wasn't sweet, you wouldn't. I mean, like, I'm trying to do that. Yeah. I worked hard on this outfit. Thank you. I know. Right. I look good.
Yeah.
She's just so funny. I think it's so fun to have to go back to the same place every year, too, because, like, I really can see their improvements. But it is also sort of like, oh, they're getting so big. The first time we went, Evie had just turned 3. She, like, had never put on ski boots before. And I remember being with her in the village area, and they have these wagons that you can use to just kind of, like, schlep your stuff. And she fell asleep in one of them.
Were there a lot of tourists there? Did you see a lot of like out-of-town spring breakers?
Totally. I mean, and that's any ski town at any point, honestly.
Any people skiing in jeans?
I skied in jeans one day.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, yeah. I feel like Colorado people are allowed to do that.
But
did you see any
back.
Like?
No.
Did you see any obvious?
The people who are obvious, I feel like, I don't know. I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm like, your people who are new are going to look new. Like, I'm not going to make fun of them.
Well, it's kind of what we talked about before. We're like, when we're new at things, like, who cares? We're trying it. And
totally.
You're like, yeah.
I don't want to like disparage people because they can't afford a $400 set of snow pants for a sport they've never tried before. Like,
exactly.
Ski gear is so expensive. If like the warmest pair of pants you have is like a thick pair of jeans and that's what you're going to ski in, then okay, that's fine. Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have fun skiing. And I hope that
or
you like it
you
so
went
much.
To a thrift store and got one of those awesome one piece neon jumpsuits. Like, heck yeah.
Or if you have like the really cheap Walmart snow pants on or whatever, like, that's fine. Snow gear is really expensive.
Yeah, it's very expensive. I think the reason too, I was talking to one of my coworkers who's from Texas, and she's, and I was telling her that I was going to the mountains this week to see my family, and she's like, "Oh, I love going to the mountains." I go, "Yeah, fun fact about Colorado people is they really make fun of Texas license plates." But I feel like every state has their thing.
One, yeah.
Because when in Arizona, it was all about the snowbirds, because all of the retired community comes out in the winter because it's nice and warm. So anytime we'd be out and about and you see a license plate from Minnesota and they're driving 5 miles an hour, we'd be like, ah, snowbirds. So I wonder what other states
when
have
I lived
as their
in
nemesis state.
When I lived in Moab, the joke was like, how do you know it's spring in Moab? The license plates turn green because the Colorado license plates are green.
Oh, yeah. That's
And it's like everybody comes to Utah or to Moab in March because it's still snowy in the mountains in Colorado, but it's really, really nice in Moab. It's not hot yet. And so like you can bike and climb and stuff. And when you can't do that yet in Colorado. So that was always the line.
Yeah. Leah's from Hawaii. She says Hawaii is white people. Just white people. Like, yeah. And people in Jeeps, right? Because they rent. Or like convertibles.
The rental, or like the Mustang that you rent from the, yeah.
One time we really will occasionally, even though we look like such tourists, I always make it a point whenever I go there to be like, we've been coming here for 10 years. We're like, we know the culture. Like, we're not the jerk touristy white people. And we feel more welcome that way. But one year we rented a convertible because it really is quite convenient when you're like, going back and forth to the beach to get just like extra sunshine.
I love a convertible too. Like if I'm on vacation, I love that moment. But yeah, it definitely screams like I am here.
But you kind of like run. And one year our rental got keyed because it was basically like, you know.
Yeah, my mom had all her stuff stolen out of their convertible in Hawaii once.
Yeah, no one in Hawaii buys a topless car, Leah says, yeah. Beth says, I live in Maine. It says vacation land on our license plates. Our favorite summer activity is making fun of tourists, people wearing high heels while walking on the rocks at the coast. What? Oh, that's so funny. All the tourists are fair game. That's Tina says, slow walkers in NYC. I am terrified when I go. I love going to New York City, but I am terrified of like, I think that's the one thing too, is you want to go places, but I'm always very terrified of like looking like a tourist. But at the same time, you're like, well, NYC is a tourist attraction. So, you know, I can't be like the most annoying tourist there. But I really try
as
hard
long
not
as you're
to be
not
a slow
losing.
Walker that's like, yeah, as long as yeah. I'm not losing at the tourist game, I can like fall in the middle of the pack of annoying. But if I'm like the most annoying.
Yeah, I can be like average annoying. I don't like New York because I feel like I adopt this like every man for themselves mentality. And so I just leave my family behind because they are very slow walkers. I do that like if we're like in a crowd, part of it, I think because I'm like a little bit petite, I can weave way more than Brandon can. Next thing I know, he's like 100 yards back because he got like stuck behind someone he couldn't weave through. And I'm like, sorry, I can just duck under people's elbows. And now I am in the front.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Julie says, in Wisconsin, we call the Illinois people flatlanders because a lot of them have lake houses in Wisconsin and come up on weekends. And I guess Illinois is flatter. Like Wisconsin also flat. Jacqueline says, anyone who lives south of Michigan and doesn't understand lake effect snow. Oh, yeah. That's fair. Brandon went to college in Milwaukee and he's from Madison and Milwaukee is like right on the lake and Madison obviously like has lakes but not one of the Great Lakes. It's like a little further removed and he always talks about how he would call home and his dad would be like, yeah, I'm sitting out here in the backyard and it's beautiful. And Brandon would be like, it is a blizzard here. It's not fair. Anyway, all right. We had a couple things we wanted to talk about this week that are not just completely random. The main one being about the Oprah Ozempic article.
Special. Well, there was a special that she did.
Right, because Oprah loves a special.
Yeah, she loves a special. It was called, hold on. I got to look up the title because it was like,
yeah,
shame,
it was like shame and blame and
blame
weight loss.
And weight loss. Yeah. Shame, blame, and weight loss. Full disclosure, I didn't watch it, but I read a lot of the highlights and I should have watched it. But I think there was a part of me that was just like, also disclaimer, I love Oprah. We can also have things that we watch and say, I love this person and I didn't agree with this certain type of presentation or what have you. So just disclosure on that, but or disclaimer. But I also was watching this going, okay, from my experience of watching Oprah throughout the years, is she she will tend at times, from what I can see, is she will tend to take something that she really falls in love with and just like kind of use an N equals one mentality where it's like, well, I love this and I want to share it with the world. Great.
That's actually her whole brand.
That's like her whole brand.
Oprah's favorites. Like
favorite things and her book club. And yes.
Yes. It's so, like, if Oprah loves it, you're going to love it. And so
you're going to love it too. Yeah, yes.
That's, I feel like that is actually the foundation of her entire empire is like, I love this. And so I'm going to get you to love it too.
So I think that's really wonderful when you're kind of looking at like, I love these things. I want other people to love it too. But there are some things that you really shouldn't, you know, you want to, because she has such an influence, there are some things where I'm kind of like, well, you know, you want to be careful with that. You know, Dr. Phil in the 90s was a huge guest on her show, and he has since taken off and, created his own show, which can be problematic. There are some things that I don't really love about him anymore as he kind of rose into his fame. Dr. Oz, there were some problematic behaviors that he kind of led into. So look, she's not responsible for people that she makes famous, of course. But I also am just like, I want to look at everything with like a critical eye. And I know not everyone does that because, you know, it's Oprah and you like trust her and love her. But this special really bothered me for some reason because it was like, it kind of took it as like, and look, I understand the premise of what she was saying, which was like talking a lot about how the brain works differently for some people when it relates to weight loss. But I think when I'm walking away looking at some of the highlights of this, I'm like, well, how helpful is this too of a diet culture where we're told to love our bodies as they are, but she's kind of promoting this weight loss drug. I don't know. It just felt, I was feeling very conflicted as I was kind of reading through all the highlights.
I think the thing that's hard for me about Ozempic is we talked about this probably around the same last year for the first time when it was like really getting momentum in the mainstream and it was like a shortage. And we kind of talked about like, listen, do it, do you, if you're working with a doctor and you're like, there are a lot of legitimate reasons that people want to lose weight. There are a lot of legitimate reasons why you can't do that without medication. And like, that's not what we're here to discuss. A lot of people last time we brought up Ozempic were like, you don't know what it's like, or like, you don't know, you know, this actually really helped me. And that's great. I'm not saying those that's not out there.
Right.
Last year when we were talking about it, it was like, this is becoming almost like unregulated and it feels like everybody's just getting on it for no reason. Now with Oprah coming out and being like, I've been on Ozempic. It's amazing. It's like the miracle drug I've kind of been waiting for. Like I that's sort of what the feeling behind her messaging is like, this has changed my life and I'm like not going to be afraid to talk about it. I think the thing that's hard for me about that is the thesis statement of like the biggest achievement or the biggest like breakthrough I've had is with weight loss, and that like the thing missing from my life has been the ability to lose weight, and like just that's the focus. And I know that it is. I know that that's still the focus for our society. We can pretend all day that we are moving away from valuing thinness, but we obviously aren't. It's very, very hard to be an like triple A-list celebrity in a world where everyone makes a comment every time you gain a pound. But I think it's just that promotion of like, everyone should always be trying to lose weight, bringing that so much back into the spotlight. Like that's just macro, at a macro level. What I feel like has been tough about seeing Ozempic become so mainstream is that it's just like, oh yeah, we're back now. We're back to like talking about weight loss constantly.
Right. And it's, as growing up in the 80s and 90s, I saw it change from the Jane Fonda workout videos to low fat, everything. We've seen the trends come in and out where the undercurrent is always weight loss and thinness. While I feel like the pendulum has swung to acceptance and beauty at every size, I've seen Oprah, a projection of her, because she clearly has struggled with her weight her entire life. She's in the public eye. She's dealt with so much criticism. She has kind of promoted all the things that have connected with her as a way to say, if this has helped me, maybe it'll help you, because she knows other people are struggling with this. And yes, they are. That's completely, completely true. Women, Food, and God was a big book that she pushed in the 90s, which was more like tapping into a spiritual level. So I think she's really tried to find, other than just strict diets, ways to kind of promote self-growth, the relationship with yourself. All of these things are extremely true. But I think that it felt like, and Tina chime in, because I know Tina said she watched the whole thing, is like, it felt like it was, you know, okay, we found the answer. And that feels a little slippery slope-ish. But at the same time, it's like, yes, if your brain is no longer, like we've mentioned, they have coined that buzz phrase, food noise, if that has really lowered and you're able to kind of live your life without that constant buzz in your head, like that must feel like some major freedom. And we even have listeners who've written in and said the same.
The other thing I have a hard time with is I do feel like for a moment we got like a chink in the armor of thinness, valuing thinness over everything, that we were sort of starting to live in a world where it was like, hey, listen, not like weight loss is not available for everybody. Let's just accept that and accept body diversity. And we had taken like a half step in that direction in the mainstream. And then Ozempic came on scene and it was like, never mind, we're back to just everybody being skinny now, because it's, you can just get this medication and now you can lose weight. And especially for celebrities, they're, you know, it's readily available to them. And, you know, Tina in the chat was like, I mean, did you watch the Oscars? Like everyone, like the body diversity has just gone down a lot since Ozempic became available. And I don't know. I think, again, like I've gotten to the point, and I think you and I both were at this point long before Ozempic came on scene, where it was like, it's mostly just, it's so individual. Everybody, the goals they have for their bodies, let's just let people want what they want. If you're in a healthy mindset about it, then like live your life. It can be a slippery slope, but like, who are we to judge? But I think that I am just bummed that like for a second, it felt like we were almost starting to accept body diversity. And I was like, never mind.
Yeah.
Go get on Ozempic.
Right. That's, yes. And that's where there's a, and it's hard because I've never, well, in terms of diet and exercise, that's kind of always been in my lifestyle. And we've talked about it on the podcast around the ups and downs that we both have been through with it. But I think we've kind of kept the, well, except for the macro counting issue, whatever. We've kind of kept for the most part all of that in the past of like, you know, we've moved on from that. We're at different points, but that doesn't mean everyone else is going to be in those same points. But my perspective is coming from a place of really wanting that to be out of our culture and out of the discussion, that we're still scrolling through Instagram and being like, wow, that person looks half their size now. Oh my gosh. And then you're, and this is my own stuff. I'm not putting it on anyone else, but we bring our projections to the table of being like, whether it triggers us or brings stuff up where I'm like, oh wow, now I have to think about, now I'm thinking about diets and thinness because everyone else is kind of joining back on that current. So I kind of have to like take a step back and recalibrate my brain to be like, okay, my normal is this normal, and this is what I want my normal to be, as opposed to like, now this weight loss drug has come onto the scene. Like we're talking about this and, you know, everyone's considering this. And it's just like that mob mentality. What I think the point is with all of this too, is for people to continue to think critically for themselves, that celebrities have a great influence and there's a lot of comparison, but that we have to think for ourselves. And majority of the people don't have the same resources as people with that level of fame have. I have a client right now that I'm working with who's looking to do gastric bypass surgery. She and I are talking a lot about relationship with food because the doctors want her to lose 50 pounds before she has this surgery. And she's like, I don't know how to do that.
Right. If I could just like go out and lose 50 pounds, I wouldn't be like trying to spend thousands of dollars on a weight loss procedure.
She has struggled her entire life with weight. And she's like, and I talked to my doctor about potentially going on a weight loss drug instead of doing the surgery because that she feels like that would be a better option for her. Well, the doctors says she's a good candidate, but the insurance won't approve it. And so like there's all these weird barriers, but then they'll approve gastric bypass surgery. Like the system is so messed up. So there's more to it than just like people hopping on drugs and hopping off drugs. I think too, is just the culture of it really scares me. And I am the type of person that when I see things like this, I'm like, I immediately want to reject it and kind of poke holes in everything because it scares me that we're like going to that place again. And is this going to be in 10 years, like the Fen-Phen stuff where people started having like weird health issues? I listened to a Science Versus episode about Ozempic and there wasn't anything like major that they found, But there were a few things that were like starting to be concerning where your digestion completely shuts down because your brain is like telling you you're... Anyway, so those are the things where I'm like, I do want to be a skeptic because I worry about where all this is going, but also what you said too of like, oh, we're back. We're kind of... Yeah, this is back in front of our face now.
I just go back to thinking like, why is the phrase struggling with your weight? What if you're, you know, and why do we make it feel like if you can't lose weight, that means you're struggling? Even just at that level, there have been so many studies done where it shows that your body weight is one of so many physical and lifestyle factors that actually influence your health. And yet, you know, we still talk about people who have a hard time losing weight as like struggling and or even having a hard time. Like we talk about like as if like this is something you are failing at if it's not easy for you. And I just think like that just puts that on such a pedestal. Like everyone should be able, should want to do this. And if you can't do it, you should just keep trying until you find out something that works for you. Right. At the end of the day, like what is the purpose of losing weight? And I think that's just the question we need to be so much more critical about.
Yeah.
Tina said... From watching it, the only real thing I took away is some people don't know how to navigate their hunger cues. And what if this is a real thing? I think that is fascinating. The interesting part of it is I've also talked about, I take for granted, or I don't anymore, but I used to take for granted before we started talking about it, that I could sort of like dip in and out of diets without real any lasting like mental effect. Like I could go out and do a Whole 30. I could count macros. I could try keto. Like I could do all the things. And then if I wanted to stop, I would just stop. I didn't realize that that was not available to a lot of people to just like mentally kind of like hop in and out. And that if you go on, a lot of people, if they go on a diet, it becomes a real like
problem,
mental fixation. So I think this perspective of like people who can't control themselves around food or people who just don't, who have been taught to second guess their hunger cues for so long or whatever the case may be, that is a real interesting component of Ozempic. And that, regardless of who you are and regardless of weight loss, which is probably an important thing to be able to do, is like understand your body's hunger cues and understand, like be in touch with that. And I do think that that's something we have also talked about, where if you grew up in restrictive diet culture, which almost all of us did, you probably have at least some point in your life second-guessed your hunger cues, probably to the point where there have been times where you couldn't really tell whether you were hungry or not, or couldn't really tell what your body needed. That's really hard to come back from. Or it's really hard to develop in the first place if you don't have a healthy model for that, which not very many of us did. There's just so much. This is just such like a complex topic. I don't know.
Yeah. 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 It's really hard. I mean, I saw Sassy talking about this too. She posted a few things on her stories, the Sassy Dietitian, who's her friend, Laura Legos, just basically talking a little bit about, it's not teaching people how to fuel themselves, which there's so much more that goes into a diet than just, you know, saying, I'm going to eat the right things. I know that mentally we have such a complex relationship with food, but, you know, the important part is I wonder that you can turn off this food noise, perhaps with a drug like Ozempic, like what Oprah was talking about, where that part of that complication is gone. And does it improve your relationship with food and your body? I'm sure that's an individual result for everybody. But then I kind of go to antidepressants and I'm like, yeah, for people who struggle with mood, what's the difference?
Yeah, we don't just say like, well, you should just figure it out.
What's the difference?
Or we've gotten away from thinking
I'm not,
that that's
I'm
like
not advocating
people.
Either way. I'm just like, what's the difference? You know, like that's to me, it's...
I think the difference is that they're... Depression is an inherently and objectively negative state to live in. Is being overweight, is, you know, we
a
don't
A lot
even,
of people would say yes.
I agree. I know a lot of people would say yes, but right. I think that is right. The assumption that I want to challenge. Even the word overweight, we don't have another word
That's
readily available to mean having a bigger body. It's just overweight. You're just over. Mm-hmm, like there isn't another word. And I also, every time I bring this up, know that a huge piece of this is that you and I are in objectively small bodies. Like we are not overweight. Neither of us has ever been overweight.
Never been, yeah.
That is a huge part of the perspective that I don't have, is like living in a world where right. the default is a smaller body. I don't want to discount that at all, but I just want to, like, me sitting here saying, like, the assumption that we all have is that being overweight is like, the assumption that this requires is that being in a bigger body is objectively less desirable than being in a smaller body, and therefore it's a problem to be fixed. And so the difference between weight loss drugs and antidepressants is, like, I would objectively say that being depressed is bad. I think the assumption that this is then leaning to is, like, objectively being overweight is bad. And I know we're so far away from mm-hmm. like getting to a point where that is not the assumption most people have in our society. But that is really, like, what I just keep coming back to. It's like, this is just not, all of this goes back to feeding into that baseline that, like, you should not be, you should only be in a small body.
But there's so many people out there. I mean, it's kind of taking the blanket statement of, you know, there's plenty of people out there that are like, I love my body this size, no matter what it, big, small, whatever. So we can't blanket have an answer for people who want to take a drug because they just want to be in a smaller body. Who knows? It's just like the Oprah thing, where her whole life she's been in front of the public eye. People have criticized her weight. Everything has been splashed on the tabloids for whatever she's going through with her weight. I don't know what that does to someone mentally. I mean, at some point, you know, we had a show that the Kardashians put on called Revenge Body. I can't say that I wouldn't honestly want to do something like that if I was in a position where someone maybe judged me in a relationship because they were like, you don't have this type of body I want, whatever. Or you want to, like, you want to have a glow up. I'm totally just, I'm saying this hypothetically, you guys, is like to say, yeah, put me on that show so I can show that person. Because there's a little bit of, like, revenge that I think a lot of people want to get back at the haters. And maybe that's a part of what Oprah is doing. More power to her, you know, but I just, the whole concept of that kind of coming on the scene and everyone jumping on that train, and it, there's jokes everywhere of people being on Ozempic and all the, yeah, all the bodies that you see at the Oscars, where I'm like, oh wow, there's not a lot of diversity in size here.
I mean, we've been talking about this in every, from every angle for 10 years.
Yeah. 11 years. Yeah.
It's still here. We're just, we're never going to get away from it. And that's okay, because it's a big deal. But
it is a big deal. Can we just say really quick, Kate Middleton, her announcement was very sad. And I just, you know, last week when we recorded, we were like, oh my gosh, I hope that, you know, everything's okay, of course. But this is, I was reflecting on this and I fell into this too. So I'm not saying, I'm not like on a high horse by any means, but it reminded me to stay away from hype of anything. And I remember feeling like when I first saw it, I was like, what's the big deal? And then everyone was like, well, it's because she's been missed. And I'm like, if I hadn't have asked that question, I probably would have stayed out of the drama and not really gotten really far into it. But it started to just turn into the snowball effect of such a big deal. Even reading Harry's book a few years ago, I was like, wow, the media is really just causing this family so many problems. I was like reading a few blogs or Instagram stories or whatever for people who kind of like, that's all they do is content around pop culture. And this one account did like 30 reels about where could Kate Middleton be. And that account, they're a fairly new podcast. I'm not going to say who they are, but it's like a sister duo and they have a fairly new podcast about pop culture because they love pop culture. But they did 30 reels about where she is. I didn't watch every single one.
And they like went viral.
They went viral. Yeah, their podcast like shot to number one and they just started. And I was like, who, what? And after this news came out, I was kind of disgusted. I was like, you're contributing. And I know this is like media and everyone wants to kind of know and hope she's okay. It's kind of like the Britney effect where everyone's like, hey, that mass chaos in the media actually led Britney to have a really good outcome and getting, well, let's hope, but getting out of her conservatorship because of social media.
Right. I think you definitely have to say that was a contributing factor.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't want to like blanket say, but after this, I was like, wow, that is just, that's the dark side of the internet that I just really have to be careful with what I consume and how I consume it and how I kind of like contribute to that problem. I don't know. It's,
yeah, I think it
grossed out.
I think a lot of people had a moment where I was like, oh, wow, it was so easy to like want to be part of this like kind of funny frenzy that we were all just thinking like she's, you know, trying to stick it to the royal family. And then it's like, oh, no, she has had major surgery and has cancer and is going through chemo. It's like, oh, dang it. That is not the like poetic sort of counterculture hope that I had for this. But like, why was I even thinking about it? Why does it matter to me? Why do these people's personal lives, like, why do I think about them?
Yeah, it's just this bandwagon of gossip that we're all very exposed to. And I'm not saying I'm like this perfect angel that stays away from it. I love pop culture. But I also was just like, oh, I really want to be careful of how I contribute to this type of content in the future. Anyway, I'm still going to talk about, you know, the Oscars and the Grammys and Taylor Swift and the fun things. But I just feel like that was a little bit out of control. It was like this spiral that just kept going and no one knew the answers and conspiracy theories started happening and it was just bad.
To take a sharp right turn, I was just turning around for a sec to chat with Evie, who is scooting by with her Barbie Jeep, pushing it along down the hallway. And we got her some like little Old Navy summer outfits. Old Navy was having 50% off sale last week, and love an Old Navy sale for kids' clothes. I'm having another moment where I'm like, she's just so big. But I got her this sparkly one-piece swimsuit with little ruffles on the top. And she is like at the limit of the size range for Old Navy, like toddler sizes. Like it goes up to 5T and she's 5, but it is tight. Especially like a one-piece when you know it's tight and it's like kind of riding up a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was like looking at the other, like the next range up in sizes, and a lot of them, a lot of them were like little bikinis. And I was like, I'm not ready for her to wear a little bikini.
You're like, I'm not ready. I'm posting a link to, so by the time this comes out, I'm sure all the clothes will be sold out, but Diane von Furstenberg did a line of clothes for Target.
Oh, yeah. Are they cute?
And this is what I ordered. I don't know if it's going to look okay. I just ordered it online because I was like, this is actually the only thing I could see myself like wearing right now, but it's pretty loud. It's definitely not a staple. It's a statement piece. Let's see. So it's the, for people who aren't in the chat.
Oh, that's very loud. That's cute though.
It's a nylon jazz dot green sports jumpsuit. It's just very a loud pattern jumpsuit and it just looks like really comfy. So that was the only thing I ordered from the line, but everything else was kind of more like dressy. They do have some really cute sporty, like bike shorts, leggings.
Oh yeah.
But those are already sold out.
What a collab. Target and DVF. Mm-hmm. Who knew? All right, guys. I think that's it for this week.
Have we covered enough for today?
We covered quite a lot. Thank you for being here. You can find us on Instagram at joyandclaire_. You can go to our website, joyandclaire.com. You can email us. This is joyandclaire@gmail.com. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, chat friends. Thank you, friends.